question. What do you think of me?
What do you mean?
You've known me nearly all your life. You must have formed some opinion of me.
Well, I always thought that you were a very nice person. Look, I think I should be going.
Sit down, Benjamin.
Mrs. Robinson, if you don't mind my saying so, this conversation is getting a little strange. Now, I'm sure that Mr. Robinson will be here any minute now.
No.
What?
My husband will be back quite late. He should be gone for several hours.
Oh, my God. Oh, no, Mrs. Robinson. Oh, no.
What's wrong?
Mrs. Robinson, you didn't expect...
What?
I mean, you didn't really think I'd do something like that.
Like what?
What do you think?
Well, I don't know.
For God's sake, Mrs. Robinson. Here we are. You got me into your house. You give me a drink. You put on music. Now you start opening up your personal life to me and tell me your husband won't be home for hours.
So?
Mrs. Robinson, you're trying to seduce me. Aren't you?
That, of course, for those of you old enough to remember, was the seduction scene from the film The Graduate. As my intro to tonight's Sharon Hour, with me, Sharon James, on Laguna's KX935. Dustin Hoffman played the young man being seduced by the beautiful Anne Bancroft. And grand seductresses is the topic of my Sharon Hour tonight. It takes a lot of chutzpah for a woman to put herself out there, ready to be mocked or rejected. I guess it's something men do all the time, but it takes a rare woman. Women can use their sexual wiles or their power, if they're lucky enough to have either, to the same effect as men, especially and even more effectively if they're operating in traditional male territory. There's the classic case of Mata Hari, the Dutch exotic dancer who became mistress to many powerful men, which led her all over Europe and allowed her to exact secrets as a German spy during World War I. Her code name was H21, not 69. Unfortunately for her, she was eventually routed out, caught, convicted, and executed by the French, even though she'd become the toast of Paris in her exotic dancing days. Tuned to the Sharon Hour with me, Sharon James, on Laguna's KX93.5. Tonight, my show is on grand seductresses, and no show on seductresses would be complete without a mention of the famed Cleopatra. Cleopatra was an Egyptian pharaoh who seduced Julius Caesar and Mark Antony, amongst others, who were the leaders of the most powerful empire in the world at that time, in order to meet Caesar. She rolled herself inside a carpet and had herself delivered into his personal chambers. Some women will go to the most exotic lengths to get their man.
Roll a off the carpet, push back the chairs, get some music on the radio. Don't mind the neighbors who live downstairs, they went out to see a show. Roll up the carpet, push back the chairs, then be sure that all the lights are low. Dance with the girlfriend, the one who cares, tell her that you love her so. When you're feeling tired of dancing, try and find a place to park. Go to any cozy corner, take advantage of the dark. Roll up your troubles, fold up your cares, just forget you haven't got a dime. Roll up the carpet and push back the chairs, you're bound to have a wonderful time. A dime. Roll up the carpet and push back the chairs. You're bound to have a wonderful time. You're bound to have a wonderful time.
You're listening to The Sharon Hour, and I hope you're having a wonderful time. I'm Sharon James. This is Laguna's one and only public FM member-supported, listener-supported radio station, KX935. My topic on tonight's Sharon Hour is grand seductresses. They come in all shapes and sizes, and they're not always beautiful or smart, as you will discover, though, of course, they're street smart. Even the unexpected ones counted amongst their number would have to be Catherine the Great. Of course, she already was great. She was a Russian empress who used her power to get her lovers and only kept them so long as they kept entertaining her. Once they no longer did, she got rid of them with gifts of land or titles or serfs. But not all of us have that kind of inherited power. Violet Gordon Woodhouse was a prim and proper English lady who made her living as a harpsichordist. At least prim and proper on the outside. At home, she lived in a ménage à cinq. Yes, you heard that right. Four men plus her, only one of whom was her legal husband. But they apparently, the men, were all very happy, not at all minding sharing her. According to one of the four, William Barrington, the only time any of them argued with each other was over a cricket match. Long live England. And of course, from the other side of the pond came Wallace Simpson, who seduced the King of England away from his throne. She'd already been married twice and was still married to her second husband when she did this. And because the royal rules didn't allow him to be married to a twice divorced woman, even a once divorced woman would have been unacceptable, he abdicated the throne on her behalf and was kind of forced into exile in France. Now, the rumour was that Wallace Simpson was a hermaphrodite. No way of proving that, but that's what everyone said, and that it was a fact that she had all the sexual organs he could possibly desire that made her specially attractive to King Edward, rather than her powers as a seducer. But who knows for sure? It was touted as a great love story, but it was more of a sex story, I think. And poor old George VI, father of our current queen, had to take over the reins most unwillingly. He had a terrible stutter. If any of you watched that film, The King's Speech, that was about Brother George. Had not planned to become king. Had planned to live a much more regular, behind-the-scenes, low-key life. But Edward had to have his way and his woman. Edward lived a long and robust life, while his poor brother died of lung cancer in his mid-50s.
I was 3 when my grandfather, King George VI, died. And suddenly, unexpectedly, your and my father's lives were irrevocably changed when you were only 26.
You're hearing England's Prince Charles addressing his mother, the current Queen of England, before huge crowds in the Mall on the occasion of her Diamond Jubilee 5 years ago.
Your Majesty, Mummy, a Diamond Jubilee is a unique and special event. Some of us have had the joy of celebrating 3 Jubilees with you. And I have the medals to prove it. And we are now celebrating the life and service of a very special person over the last 60 years. As a nation, this is our opportunity to thank you and my father for always being there for us, for inspiring us with your selfless duty and service, and for making us proud to be British, proud to be lining the banks of the Thames in their millions, despite the rain and the cold, proud to be part of something as unique as the Commonwealth, which, through your leadership, has given us that essential sense of unity through diversity. So, Your Majesty, we offer you our humble duty, and with it, 3 resounding cheers for Her Majesty the Queen. Hip hip! Hooray! Hip hip! Hooray! Hip hip!
Hooray! Okay, enough British nationalism. Let's get back to US soil and seductresses. Seductresses being the topic of my Sharon Hour tonight. That's for me, Sharon James, on Goonies KX935. We have, of course, Aeneas Nin. She had seduced both her husbands, Hugh Giler and Robert Pole. Yes, she was polygamous, married to 2 men. It meant travelling back and forth between New York and California and lying to each husband. And still, she went after Henry Miller and, it's rumoured, his wife, June, as well. Though again, no firm proof of that. Here's one seductress who all of us fell for, with her beauty, her body, her wiggle, which also found its way into her voice. She seduced athletes, playwrights and politicians, including one much beloved, very handsome, married president.
Mr. President, on this occasion of your birthday, this lovely lady is not only punctilious but punctual. Mr. President, Marilyn Monroe.
The spotlight goes on where she's supposed to be, and she's not there.
A woman about whom it truly may be said she needs no introduction. But let me just say,
poor Peter Lawford, the actor who is related to the Kennedys, is stalling for all his might.
Here she is.
Again the spotlight and no Marilyn.
But I'll give her an introduction anyway.
Marilyn was notorious for being late, and this occasion proved no exception, ultimately. Nerves played a part in this. She was the most fragile, ambivalent seductress we'd ever come across, which was what charmed us all about her in a way.
Mr. President, in the history of show business, perhaps there has been no one female who meant so much, who has done more.
Here she comes, wiggling up to Lawford in a fitted skirt, narrowing at her ankles, and a mink stole, looking absolutely stunning.
Mr. President, the late Marilyn Monroe. That you've won, the way you deal with U.S. Steel and our problems by the ton, we thank you so much. Everybody, happy birthday!
President of the United States.
I can now retire from politics after having had a happy birthday sung to me in such a sweet, wholesome way.
There's been no one like Marilyn. Many have tried to emulate her, but she really did the best job doing that herself. You are tuned to The Sharon Hour with me, Sharon James, on Luna's KX935. My topic tonight is grand seductresses. And Margaret Trudeau, who was a very pretty 22-year-old, had won the heart of the much older middle-aged Canadian Prime Minister, only to run off and have a scandalous affair with star of Love Story, Ryan O'Neill, who at the time had gone through two wives, Bond girl Ursula Andress, Mick Jagger's ex, Bianca Jagger, and actually one of my best friends. According to this article in Vanity Fair by Michael Callahan, when Margaret Trudeau set eyes on O'Neill one day in the late 70s, it was as he pulled up to the Beverly Hills Hotel in his Rolls Royce. The resulting affair that was to break up her marriage ended almost as soon as it had begun when Margaret went to see Ryan and he wouldn't let her in because his son was at home, and she hiked up her tight leather skirt and scaled the wall surrounding his mansion, teetering on top of it in her black suede pumps as her driver looked on aghast. Ryan O'Neill had been equally appalled, amused and impressed, but still dumped her. She had the driver stop for Japanese takeout on their drive away and had him pull over on Sunset Boulevard so that she could toss the entire contents of the takeout onto a billboard of Ryan O'Neill's new movie. Margaret later described this affair that broke up her marriage as, quote, one of the shortest-lived, most exciting and absurd affairs of her life, claiming that Ryan O'Neill represented everything that was shallow and wrong about the way she lived. And she had lived at that point. She was like the Holly Golightly of Canada. She'd not only run off from her dashing, intellectual and powerful husband, but also their three young sons. one of whom, Justin, has managed to overcome that personal embarrassment and hurt and harm to rise to the position of Prime Minister himself. But no fun to have your mum gallivanting at Studio 54, where she once sat on top of a patron's birthday cake and being photographed kicking up her heels on the dance floor, the same night that her then-husband, Pierre Trudeau, lost his re-election. She says, thinking about all that now, you look back and wonder, how could I have? But she realized later in her life that she was in fact manic depressive, which we now call bipolar, and attributes her previous behavior to manic episodes. Not that you have to be manic to be a seductress. You just have to be beautiful, charming, clever, and educated. Or do you? We'll soon find out. Seductresses is the topic of my Sharon Hour tonight, with me, Sharon James, on Lagunas KX 935. We're currently exploring the antics of Margaret Trudeau, former First Lady of Canada. Apart from the game-changing affair with Ryan O'Neill, she had affairs with Jack Nicholson, Ron Wood, and Ted Kennedy, as well as heirs to Perrier Water and countless other men. But to be a seductress can sometimes be a case of careful what you wish for or go for, because she didn't like the fishbowl she found herself in ultimately as First Lady of Canada. She hated being reported on and having her every move observed. At a reception in the White House in 1977, she was apparently practically burned in effigy for wearing a knee-length cocktail dress and having a run in her stocking. The only good news was that Liz Taylor called her and said, "I'm wearing short," to a reception the next day that they had to go to, that the Carters were giving at the Canadian Embassy in Washington. Good for Rosalind Carter. She said, "I'm wearing short too." So they were all able to wear short and laugh about it. But it was still hard to shake her wild child image, particularly after she became a groupie with the Stones. She was still the First Lady of Canada, so it wasn't quite appropriate to be hosting a party for the band in her hotel suite. Less appropriate was Mick Jagger, quoted as saying, "She's a very sick girl in search of something. She found it, but not with me. I wouldn't go near her with a barge pole." Not very chivalrous, eh? You have to be tough to be a seductress, and extremely proactive, go after what you want, and not always get it.
I saw her today at the reception. A glass of wine in her hand. I knew she was gonna meet her connection. At her feet was a footloose man. And I said that you can't always get what you want, honey. You can't always get what you want. You can't always get what you want. But if you try sometime, well, you might just find. A man didn't look pretty
was Mick Jagger, of course, in 1968 at the Rock and Roll Circus. John Lennon was in the audience cheering him on. Those were the 60s in London, but that's not my topic tonight. My topic on tonight's KX935's Sharon Hour is Grand Seductresses. And we're currently talking about Margaret Trudeau, who was very naughty, running off with the Stones and the like, and she was married to the Prime Minister of Canada. And the Jagger rudely said he wouldn't go near her with a barge pole. It was reported by one of the other Stones that he actually did go near her without a barge pole. For Margaret Trudeau's part, she said she was in one of her episodes when she ran off with the Rolling Stones, and it could just as easily have been one of the guys from the 7-Eleven. But she did seem to choose to go for the movers and shakers. She was also a groupie around Andy Warhol and was seen emerging nude from a hot tub in Tokyo, offering Warhol a joint. She was found to have smuggled not spy secrets but drugs in the Prime Minister's luggage. But as a little clue to a more innocent side of her, she said of one of her conquests, the film star Jack Nicholson, "He didn't tell any lies. He didn't make any promises. He didn't pretend. He simply was free. He wasn't going to commit to anyone, and he never did." She also fell for singer Lou Rawls. Ultimately, she remarried a German real estate entrepreneur named Fried Kemper and had two more children. Then Kemper went bankrupt, and Margaret ended up in a mental hospital for a couple of months. And one of her sons was killed in an avalanche, his body never found. According to a friend, Margaret just went to bed and pulled the duvet over her head, paralyzed. There were a couple more hospital stays after that, including a straitjacket. She didn't want to live anymore. Margaret claims she didn't smile or laugh for 5 years. Then her son Sasha took the whole family on a trip to Cuba, where they stayed at a beautiful resort, walked on the beach, danced to Lil Wayne, and Margaret began laughing. "And I came home," she said, "and it was over." She's since been an advocate for mental causes and bipolar conditions, a long way from being Grand Seductress. Grand Seductresses is the topic of my Sharon Hour tonight. That's with me, Sharon James, on Laguna's KX93.5. Thank you.
now you add this a boil up for me. Though you see me in my pants and ting. See me in my outer back. See me give you heart attack. Give me little beast with my wine up my waist. Uptown top ranking. See me on the road and you know call out to me. Sure you see me in my pants and ting. In my altar back. Send me give your heart attack. Give me little beast with my wine up my waist. Give me little beast with my wine up my waist. Love is all I bring. In a me khaki suit and tip. Now pop no style. I'll strictly roots. Now pop no style. I'll strictly
You're tuned to The Sharon Hour with me, Sharon James, on Laguna's KX93.5. My topic on tonight's show is seductresses. Of the modern day seductresses, I can think of Madonna, not quite so modern day, though she always manages to keep herself somewhat relevant. It was a big surprise when Madonna hooked up with a major seductor, Warren Beatty. They were making Dick Tracy, and Warren Beatty commonly had love affairs with his leading ladies. In this case, in the battle of seductress and seductor, it seemed like the seductress won. Warren Beatty was in his mid-50s at the time, and Madonna over 20 years his junior, and at the height of her fame. She called him old man and suggested he'd benefit from liposuction. He suggested that she keep her comments to herself. This famous Lothario was obviously quite hurt by her suggestion, and her response was, "You older guys are too sensitive. I'm just being helpful. If you want to be fat and flabby, Warren, fine with me." Not your usual seductress approach, but Warren seemed to take it in his stride. According to Peter Biskind, who wrote a biography of Warren Beatty, Warren adopted an attitude of bemused detachment with Madonna, as if he were babysitting a troublesome child. And yet, he did apparently propose to her. It was kind of odd because he was used to being worshipped by women and being the one completely in control, but Madonna seemed to have him in her clutches. He let her mistreat him. Wow. He complained that she was too volatile, too combative, and too unpredictable for him. He complained to Mike Nichols that women with one name, like Madonna and Cher, were subconsciously committing patricide. And of course he was the older man. But he did fork out 30 grand for a 6-carat diamond and sapphire ring for her when he asked her to marry him. At the time, though, she was still married to Sean Penn, so it was for some unspecified time in the future. And still, they fought all the way through production of Dick Tracy. He made her sing her song over and over and over, take after take after take. He had a huge row about that. And when Warren tried to put his arm around her, she spat at him, "Don't touch me." Ironically, the song was titled, "I Always Get My Man."
You babe. The challenge delights me. The more you resist, babe, the more it excites me. And no one I've kissed, babe, ever fights me. Just a question of when I get a yen, then baby, amen, I'm counting to
'Right to have her keep going. What do you think, listener? You are tuned to The Sharon Hour with me, Sharon James, on Laguna's KX935. My topic tonight is grand seductresses, and few match Pamela Harriman. Before her death, America's ambassador to France, elected so by Bill Clinton. Born British, she was an aristocrat, the daughter of the 11th Lord Digby, but not rich the way she wanted to be because of the laws of primogeniture. Her first marriage was at age 19 to Randolph Churchill, Winston Churchill's son. She was 19, but he was about 10 years older, and she was actually the 8th woman he'd proposed to since war had broken out. He clocked up 3 of those 8 in one night. But Pamela said yes. She wanted the Churchill name. He wanted the opportunity of an heir from good, young, aristocratic stock before he went off to do battle. She said yes on their first date, even though he was a rather unattractive boozer, womanizer, and bore. She had figured out what she needed from the world. She wasn't terribly pretty. She wasn't terribly bright. In fact, she'd been scorned during Deb season by her fellow Debs and young men doing the season for being plump and pushy. JFK's sister Kathleen called her a fat and stupid little butterball, and others were similarly dismissive.
Nobody love a little old rotund little fat girl, but oh, how a fat girl can love. Nobody seems to want me. I'm just a truck upon the highway of love. Why, the only game I can get the boys to play is to have them sit around and try to guess how much I weigh. Nobody loves a fat girl, but oh, how a fat girl can love pretty mama. Oh, how a fat girl can love.
And oh, how Pamela Harriman could love, apparently, judging by profusion and status of the men she seduced. Grand seductresses is the topic of my Sharon Hour tonight. That's with me, Sharon James, on Laguna's KX935. And we're currently hearing about the conquests of former aristocrat, courtesan, political powerhouse, Pamela Harriman. and how she got to where she wanted to. Pamela wanted power always, and to be where the action was. And in her day, it was the men that ruled the world. And really, the only way to make your mark was attached to one of those men of substance. According to her biographer, Sally Bedell Smith, what she lacked in beauty and intelligence and even education, she wasn't terribly well educated, she made up for with a mixture of traits in perfectly measured proportions that are the sine qua non of a seductress. And those traits included energy, resilience, focus, preparation, charm, shrewdness, willpower, organization, discipline, taste, are you taking note, women? Attention to detail, patience, hard work, and a thorough knowledge of social arts, obviously. A French novelist called Maurice Dual, who was writing about a character, but everybody presumed it was about Pamela Harriman, said, quote, "She chose her lovers well and seldom missed a famous man within her reach without bequeathing him a memory."
And if those men could only hear what we ladies say, woman chatter, woman talk, for men are to blame, not understanding, they take, they break, they're so demanding. Always they take, always they break, always they play the clown. They're so incredibly lazy, they're so lazy that it's crazy the things they do to you. They're always out, out and about the town, dear, and men are such liars, such liars. It tires, and men are so stubborn. What can you do, really very stubborn? I'll put it to you. Oh, if only they could hear us talking, only hear us talking, see us sitting here and talking, dear. We're two girls with a grievance, what will we do? We must leave those men alone on their own. Yes, I'm putting it to you, I'm putting it to you, dear. I put it to you, if they were only here, right here where they could hear, I'd tell those men again what they could do while we just sit alone, sit alone in the shade. Using the good day God made, just gossiping till it's noon. Soon. And if those men could only hear what we ladies say, woman chatter, woman talk, woman chatter, woman talk, woman chatter, woman talk away.
I wonder if Pamela Harriman had women she could talk to. She is one of the grand seductresses on my show tonight. That's the Sharon Hour with me, Sharon James, on Laguna's KX935. Sally Bedell Smith has also written biographies of people like Prince Charles and several other prominent figures. Has done quite a thorough biography of this rather extraordinary woman who was determined to snag as many rich and powerful men as she could and managed it. She started with Randolph Churchill at 19, who she married after he proposed on their first date because he was headed off for war. She really had no time for Randolph the man, just Churchill the name. And as soon as he was gone, she proceeded to indulge in a stream of wartime affairs with other powerful, prominent, wealthy men, including Averell Harriman, the prominent diplomat, whom she eventually, many years later, married, and Edward R. Murrow, famous CBS newsman. At the end of the war, after she'd dispatched Randolph Churchill, divorced him, she moved to Paris and was kept in style by extremely wealthy and powerful men. When none of her European men wanted to marry her, and she was approaching 40, She came to the US, and that was when she stole Broadway producer Leland Haywood from his wife and became the doyen of Broadway. At the time, his career was in the decline and he was drinking a lot, but she kept spending his money. Ultimately, they had to sell art and antiques and a helicopter he'd bought to sustain her extravagant lifestyle. There was a lawsuit by the children because she'd spent a huge part of their inheritance. When Haywood died, she managed to dig up Averell Harriman, who she'd had an affair with during the war. He was newly widowed, and she jumped in there, and that got her to Washington, where she was able to parlay all the skills she had as a courtesan into becoming a newly respectable Washington insider, who, with her fundraising efforts, became the darling of the Democratic Party. And it was through those fundraising efforts that she got herself elected ambassador to France, quite insidiously. She never publicly put herself up for the job. She had other people, some of her men, doing that for her. And even once she got the job, it was more of a ceremonial position. She also had all those men performing what was necessary for her. For a woman of her time, knowing how to set a table, manage a household, keep a conversation going, knowing how to make connections was really the gold standard for becoming a notable person in your own right as a woman, and she certainly knew how to do that. But people wondered about her because, as I said, she wasn't especially beautiful or intelligent. Apparently at a White House correspondent dinner in Washington, Barbara Streisand had sidled up next to her and said, "What's your secret?"
Can love survive when all else fails? Can hide the fear and the feeling's gone? My heart belongs to me, but now.
Pamela Harriman didn't tell Barbara what her secret was to seducing all these rich and powerful men, but Barbara did okay for herself anyway. Grand Seductresses is the topic of my Sharon Hour tonight. That's with me, Sharon James, on Laguna's KX935. Pamela Harriman became ambassador to France and a powerful political force in her own right, albeit in part because of the money she'd amassed through her carefully chosen, if not overly selective, liaisons. She started off with nothing. An aristocrat but a poor one, who at 19 married Randolph Churchill, a bombastic boozer and bore, 3 B's, just before he went off to war. After which she ran off to Paris and got herself set up by a variety of powerful and charismatic lovers. How she did it without particular brains or looks or education was a mystery, And most of the people that met her who didn't know her did find her very mysterious. Mysterious, but not so mysterious in her quest for money. She married her former lover, Harriman, inherited his huge fortune, and actually his family had to sue her for losing tens of millions of their trust funds. While she was married to Harriman, she was actually taking financial support from both him and his daughter without either of them knowing it. So, not such a mystery then, just whatever epithet you want to attach to her. She was the femme fatale to end all femme fatales. Vice President Al Gore said of her, to paraphrase Voltaire, if Pamela Harriman didn't exist, we would have had to invent her. She really went from a kind of courtesan to a super powerful figure herself, and it was just when feminism was beginning to make its mark. So it was something she probably couldn't have achieved in earlier days, but at that point she had set up all the chess pieces so that she could. She'd always kept her lovers happy and handy and introduced them to each other. There was apparently a kind of club of men who had experienced Pamela, and they all wanted to be members of that club because she could introduce them to each other. For instance, Yanni Agnelli, the heir to the Fiat fortune, was introduced by Pamela to Franklin Roosevelt Jr., and it got him the Fiat franchise for North America. The lover who preceded Agnelli, Elie de Rothschild of the famous aristocratic Rothschild family, called her his European geisha, based on her talent to cocoon her men and provide everything they needed.
I want to be seduced. Want a woman to take me out to dinner for two. Like to see her eyes get moody. Flirting with the thought of what flirting ought to do. Like to be real cool. Let her think about getting little me in bed. Here's a chat about Magna Carta, Puerto Vallarta, something Gandhi said. I'm a dimmer, politely, falter slightly, if she tried to fondle my knee. But I'm relatively certain I'd compromise if I know me. I want to be seduced. Want a woman to talk to me suggestively. Want to hear her say she'll be with me tomorrow morning, drinking hot jasmine tea. Want her to make me laugh. Make a point of touching me when she talks. Leaving all the jealous men in the jar to mumble in the beer and gawk. I know it only happens when I'm napping, nodding in a reverie. Did I find myself a woman who wouldn't mind seducing me?
So, ladies, do you have it sorted? Having listened to the methods of grand seductresses, the topic of my KX95 share an hour tonight, you'll have learned that to be a good seductress, you don't have to be beautiful, you don't have to be well-educated, you don't have to be that intelligent, just street smart. You do have to put out, I guess. Judging by Pamela Harriman, who had none of those traits and went from having nothing to amassing an enormous fortune and becoming an ambassador to as stylish a country as France. But you do have to completely dedicate yourself to your man. It sounds like enslave yourself to him, which I'm not sure that many women are willing to do these days. Or you can be rich and famous in your own right, like Madonna, for instance. And then the world is your oyster in terms of luring your prey. That's a dirty topic these days, whether it applies to men or women. And it can apply to women, we always forget. Well, we've reached the end of my sharing hour tonight. That's with me, Sharon James, on Laguna's KX935. If you'd like to hear this again, we have a brand new wonderful website at kx935.com. You can go there and click on the Sharon Hour under podcasts, or you can listen to this on iTunes. Either way, hopefully you will listen. Hopefully you'll also attend our Christmas concert coming up with Eric Burden of The Animals. And do attach yourself to our website for other shows, some chat-oriented, others purely musical. All good. This is Sharon James saying, do please come back and listen to my Sharon Hour every Sunday night at 6. And in this holiday season, don't get too stressed. Have a wonderful time with friends and family.